The fourth teaching for the month of April 2011 for the parish cell system of evangelization on the theme The Letter to the Ephesians. The Lord be with you. Ephesus, today part of Turkey, was one of the most important cities of Asia Minor. During the times of St. Paul, it was growing constantly into the greatest commercial city in the whole Roman Empire. Moreover, with the fall of the Hellenistic Empire and the commercial weakness of Corinth, at Ephesus, there was one of the seven wonders of the world of that time, the big temple of Diana, 73 meters by 140 meters, a little bigger than a football ground. Whoever visits Ephesus can see the remains not only of this magnificent temple, but also of a huge amphitheater that could hold 27,000 people. St. Paul founded the church in Ephesus on a period of 3 years, between the year 52 after Christ and 55. During this period, St. Paul visited Ephesus for 3 times. We have an account of this in Luke's Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 1, till chapter 20, verse 1. Probably, St. Paul wrote this letter when he was in the prison of Rome between 60 and 62 after Christ. The letter consists of 6 chapters and can be divided in 5 parts. Chapter 1, verse 3, till chapter 2, verse 10, whereby St. Paul speaks of the blessings of the gospel. Between chapter 2, verse 11, till chapter 3, verse 21, whereby St. Paul speaks of the situation of the pagans and how he had been chosen to be an apostle to the pagans. Chapter 4, verses 1 to 16, whereby St. Paul speaks of the unity and diversity of gifts. Chapter 4, verses 17 till chapter 6, verse 9, whereby St. Paul speaks of ordinary life and the different relationships, and chapter 6, verse 10 till the end, whereby St. Paul speaks of the spiritual combat and the armor of God. On Sunday, 1st May coming, Pope John Paul II is going to be beatified. One of his greatest legacies is his theology of the body, 129 addresses made during the audience of every Wednesday between September 1979 and November 1984. Amongst these reflections, there are 17 catechises on one of the important passages of the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, namely chapter 5, verses 22 till 33, the passage that you read before these teachings. And these 17 catechises were delivered between July and December 1982, almost 30 years ago. In this passage, we find that sentence for which St. Paul received so much criticism in our times. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." The Pope shows us how mistaken were those who criticized St. Paul as being anti-feminist. In fact, this passage is presided by verse 21, which says, "Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God." So we need to read this verse in the right context. First of all, St. Paul speaks about mutual submission. St. Paul speaks of the love between the Church and Christ as the model for married couples, and as represented by the husband and the wife. Christ as the one who goes out for the Church and gives himself for it, represented by men, by the husband. And the Church as the one that opens herself to receive the gratuitous gift of Jesus, represented by the woman, the wife. How can a wife not submit herself to her husband, who proves himself as giving himself wholeheartedly to her? And surely, not just for some time, but for all of her life. For St. Paul, there is no male or female. In the letter to the Galatians, he is explicitly clear that he is not sexist. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 8. In the Theology of the Body, Pope John Paul II reveals to us the mystery hidden in our being male and female. God, who created the human being in his own image and likeness, revealed his love in creating the human being male and female. The two ways, distinct and complementary, of being human reflects the very nature of the divine being. God is love, and because of that, God is the one who loves his beloved, and at the same time, he is the beloved who received the total gift of the lover. God the Father, who loves, is represented by the male, while God the Son, who receives that love, is represented by the female. The eternal love that is communicated by the Father and the Son, that love that is full of life and eternally creative, is represented by the very act of sexual intercourse between a male and a female in love with each other, desiring so much to crystallize their love forever that they generate new life as an external manifestation of their love for each other. For St. Paul, this is the loving experience in which the Church is involved in her loving relationship to Jesus Christ. For him, the husband and the wife are two ways of witnessing to this mystery. Through baptism, man, male or female, is born again and receives new life in the Holy Spirit of God. However, through that same baptism, man, male and female, becomes alter Christus, another Christ, ready to take the initiative and give himself to his bride, who is the community of believers. Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ.